Ready? Okay, we will reconvene and move on to public comment. So if I know there was one question from Shirley, we'll address that one first.
Thank you. The question I had for the commission was, how much trouble is it to convince the parents of these children to get the training? I had met this young lady whose parents thought that because her eyes didn't work, her brain didn't work. Oh. And she got no training whatsoever. She was from Iowa, by the way, not Nebraska. But I was wondering, if you do have a problem convincing parents that their children should go through these programs and this training.
It can happen. Almost always that a rehabilitation counselor or orientation counselor of the commission have been working with the family and with the individual. So some of that getting comfortable with who is this organization can happen in that way. Sometimes it's very difficult for the families to kind of let go of the kids. I'd like Bob to comment on it too, if you would, Bob.
Yeah, I think really it's kind of an individual situation. Each new referral comes from a different perspective. A couple of years ago, I remember we had the parents of a young woman who became blind suddenly as a result of an accident, who was reluctant to let her daughter participate in a program. She had been blind.
Did they get too protective, or?
Pardon?
Because the parents get too protective.
You know, they were concerned. She was totally blind, you know, and it's a matter of trust, I think. You know, ultimately, the counselor got to the point where the parents said, okay. The girl herself was depressed. You know, she did not have any contacts with positive role models other than the counselor that was working on that particular case. You know, and I remember when the daughter came back from Winterfest, the mother wrote an ecstatic letter talking about how her daughter was singing in the shower, and she was just completely. She came back a different person. She didn't know who she was. You know, she was she was cheerful, and very often that type of thing does happen. Not in every case, but I think, you know, kids are excited because they can connect with others who are like themselves, sometimes for the first time, you know. Mm-hmm. And it can be a life-changing type of event. So I think, you know, when parents encounter those type of reactions from their kids when they go to a program like that, they become converts pretty quickly. They can.
Thank you.
Bob?
Yes.
Just to, I guess, expand on that, on her question just a little bit, do you find that, and I guess this might be more with low vision kids more than totally blind kids, but do you find that sometimes their parents are in denial of their trouble?
Yeah. And sometimes the kids are too.
Yeah. Well, that was the problem with this young lady. She was very intelligent. She was very talented musically. And her parents thought that there was no sense in her getting any training because she was too dumb. She couldn't see she was dumb.
Yeah.
And that was her parents' attitude. So by the time she got to be an adult, she was in assisted living. Because she had not had any training. But I came in contact with her through audio description. And listening to her talk, she the things she was picking up from television and things like that, you could tell that her mind was very underused. And that was such a shame.
It's too bad that she herself didn't go, after she got away from him, that she did want to try to go back to some kind of training. He herself, when she did it. I mean, unless she lived with her parents, all of you know.
Yeah. They were in Iowa, not Nebraska.
Well, so. It's the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is tough. I just mentioned the student leader, the guide dog training. I can't, say names and things, but the student still relied so much on the vision. And, she would walk into the room and, say, let me find you guys a chair and different things like that. And really, she didn't have that much. And unfortunately, we were going on one of our routes, and I made the joke. I says, "Okay, I don't want to do this too badly. I'll just follow you, and we'll go sighted guide. They won't even know it." later, a couple minutes later, she goes, "Okay, so we'll have to go last then, because you'll be following me, right?" And no, I was just joking, but it is. It's a this person had not a lot of support, and she was worried that when she got back, it would be real protective again, and it was just making a lot of progress, and it is very tough sometimes. That's the one I said, eventually you're going to have to try some stuff with sleep shades, because if you really want to work your cane or work a dog, you got to know from that perspective.
First, you've got to convince the parents.
Oh yeah.
That this child can do things.
Isn't that where they have a group called Parents of Children Who Are Blind and Visually Impaired?
There are two national organizations for parents, at least two that are major national organizations. And so there are resources for parents. Many of our counselors inform families about those.
Has it ever been done or thought about doing, but in conjunction with the programs that we have already, like Wages and Winterfest and Project Independence, the first evening, when perhaps some of the parents are there dropping kids off, to offer a seminar or a group meeting for the parents at that time? Is that something?
We've definitely talked about that, and we've done it somewhat. I don't know if any staff in the audience can remember specifics. I know we've done a couple of things for parents. Or did I make that up?
Well, no,
Shane?
Yeah, certainly. We even this year at the beginning of Project Independence, when they, like you suggest, Julie, when they brought the students. Then they stuck around and we had a little seminar and things like I actually wasn't in attendance, but I know they had a seminar and things like that. But to more of a full program for parents, I know some of us again, if we could put that on that wish list of too many programs.
Right.
At the top of mine is some sort of a PI for parents,
mm-hmm.
parents and teachers maybe, or parents.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We call it PT.
Yeah, I remember we had one, what did we call it, Friends and Family Day or something with the Orientation Center,
right.
Which is not parents often, but I think it's some of the same things that come up. I mean, I'm sure there's some different issues, but there's some of that, let me do that for you, things that, and I remember, I mean, it was a huge, huge ordeal to pull together, but I think it was very valuable. So, yeah, but then again, I'm all about more programs. And
do you have any programs for the general public to teach? General public doesn't sound to be rude to blind people, what I'm trying to say?
Right. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think I was very lucky because the very first blind person I had ever met was Dick's Lab.
That
was an education all in itself, and he got me started in the right path.
Yes, ma'am.
Thinking in the right way.
Right. To answer the question about programs for the general public, we do a lot of sessions at places of employment and businesses and senior centers and nursing homes and schools, and even the board will give talks in schools. If you try to have a program about blindness just to open to the public, you know, I don't think you'd really get the audience because people tend to think, well, that doesn't apply to me. There has to be some tie-in to the individual to have the commitment to learn about something. But I certainly agree with your point that in general, everybody could use more education about blindness and how to best interact with a blind person.
Well, I've had a lot of learning on that point.
Yes.
Who does want help? How much do they want? Who doesn't need help? And you learn, when you're around them all the time, you learn to pick that up real quick. Mm-hmm.
And of course, blind people are people. Individuals. They're all different. And, you know, there's not a way, you know, 10 things to do to help everybody who's visually impaired.
On the individual and find out what kind of person they are and go
for that. Yes.
I was going to say, there are a couple of if you have a captive audience that you would like resources to, you know, about blindness and how to interact with blind people, there are a couple of videos available on YouTube that The Encounter and what's the center video?
The Life You Choose.
Yeah, are available to use. They're both, I think The Life You Choose is like 20 or 30 minutes. It's a little bit longer. And The Encounter is real short. It's like a cartoon thing.
Right.
But those are both, resources. And I think we all try. I mean, I've been to the schools in York twice to talk to the kids about blindness. And, RD knows I've been invited to the Lions Club. I mean, wherever, I'm willing to go and speak for free, wherever I'm invited. Yeah. And I think most of the board members do those kinds of things. And I know, the staff does. If they're invited somewhere to do training or provide information, that's,
a lot of times church groups or social groups, community groups of some type, are good ways for us to get out to people. And also in the modern technology, the center has a Facebook page. The agency has the website that has lots of good information if you just explore that. So those are things, too.
Right.
And the other, just a second, Jake. The other thing that I was going to bring up real quick that is a good public information is with maybe a member of the Nebraska Federation of the Blind. We in the Platte Valley chapter, we simply sat out in front of Walmart one day and we're handing out information. So there are ways that those organizations are getting the word out, and people would walk up to us because they couldn't quite figure out what we were doing, which is fine because we weren't there to sell anything, which really confused them.
Right.
But also we made better money that way because they just started handing us money because they felt sorry for us. So it was a win-win situation. Because you're really... It was a good way for us to get that interaction with the public and to do those things. And to have that face time with them, because a lot of times, like I said, we're not seen as often.
Right.
And some people don't think about it until we're actually there. So what those type of organizations like Pearl's talking about are a great chance for the word to get out. So it doesn't have to be done through the commission itself. Yeah. It can be done by us. And we can get the word out and take care of that without any cost to anybody, which is a great thing.
Right.
And I think that's where it comes from. I think, yes, we have two different organizations, the consumer organizations, and they have differing views on different things, but they, both the NFB and ACB want to inform. They, and I guess my advice is for people to join one of those. And it's not going to set you back, more than $10, $12 a year or something like that. I'm not sure what the you know, various donations are, but, you know, are
dues.
Dues, that's what I'm going to go. But, gosh, you know, that's where they have the, you know, people come in and they, you know, do seminars or have talks, or that's where you get the parents, you know, invite maybe a family to come, or that's where it's kind of, you can get that information, and those two organizations really are helpful in that manner.
Mm-hmm. And I have to add that you really never know when you're going to get one of those opportunities. I sell my wares out at the farmer's market every Saturday, and this morning when I had very little time, needed to get to this meeting, of course I ran into a lady that saw me there, realized, you know, that I was blind, and started asking me a question. But, it, you know, sometimes you can tell people things, because she was asking me about recipes. Do you have them in Braille? And I have to admit, I'm not the greatest Braille user in the world, but I do have a lot of my recipes on the computer. And I was trying to explain, and she said, well, how do you read the screen? So I told her about JAWS and how what that stood for and what it meant, and that it read everything that was on the page, and I could go to websites and all this stuff. And yet she would say, but when you start doing it, do you have the recipe memorized? No, I have it on the computer, and the computer will tell me what's on the screen. I mean, you can go over. Sometimes you feel like you're hitting a brick wall, but I think she, in the end, and the thing that I kept trying to impress on her was, it's just another technique. It's a technique that I need to use to do what I want to do. And it isn't any different. And she said, well, how do you type? And I always said, do you type? And she said, yes. I said, do you see those two little dots on the F and the J and the home row? Yes. You put your. Do you sit there and say, well, here's the A, here's the whatever? She said, no. I don't look at my fingers. I said, exactly. I don't look at my fingers either. I get them on the home row and I type.
So there you are.
Yeah, but it was an interesting encounter, and you never know when you're going to run into that kind of a thing, and it's always a good experience to
educate. Kids nowadays type with one finger, but that's
well, more than their thumbs. They type with two.
All right.
I'd like to thank you for the interaction, because it sounds like there's a lot of positive things going out there. And I did belong to the Federation for the Blind, but living in the rural area, I could not get to Lincoln after I lost my driver, and I kind of missed going to those meetings because Shane and Amy was really great to me. But how many do you have to get a federation started?
A chapter?
I'm getting way away from the youth project.
I would direct that question to Shane. He can help you out, or Mike.
Yeah, we can talk to you about that after the meeting.
They would be able to help you out.
I want to ask a quick question, we can move on. And of course, I understand we're not, you know, this isn't the venue, the place to discuss it. It's a kind of a follow-up question to what happened from last November and February. Has there been, do you know, Mike, a decision made from the EEOC regarding Outlook? Regarding Outlook.
He's bringing up Outlook, Nebraska.
No, just a curiosity question, because I have no clue. If you know...
There's not been much change in the status of that at this point.
Okay.
Other questions or comments from the public?
I had one. Back to what we were talking about, you know, speaking to the public, and Pearl had a very valid point about, you know, there needs to be a tie-in of the audience. One place, I mean, I do all kinds of in services of all age groups. I've been to preschools and all the way through senior centers, but one project that kind of came to us that's I wanted to highlight, because it is sort of like the audience wouldn't necessarily be looking for our information, but other staff members over the years have done this too, but Amy and I have carried out the lion's share of this lately. Over at Leffler Middle School, which is right by the agency, for about 10 or 11 years now, we go every semester and speak to all the seventh graders through the, like, when they're having their health classes, because about a decade or so ago, we had some harassment issues with some of our students when they were out on travel and stuff, or like on the buses and things of that nature. And So we, you know, continue to go there and educate about blindness, and, you know, I'm happy to say we haven't had any more of those incidents, but I just wanted, you know, to the board to know, like, sometimes we have to kind of be proactive about that kind of thing.
So. I'm glad you mentioned that. Thank you, Sharon. Julie, Barbara had a...
I just wonder... I need the microphone.
Yes.
It's here.
Oh, okay. I just wondered where they hold these winter festivities. What is it called again? Winter?
Winterfest.
Winterfest and...
And Project Independence.
And wages.
Where do they hold it?
Wages?
Maybe they said, and I just didn't
hear.
No, it wasn't.
We didn't
said.
Really talk about it that. Varies. That's a good question.
Yeah, wages is in Lincoln. Always. Yes. Work and gain experience in the summer is what that stands for. And
the
winter.
The students, the participants stay at the Selleck Dormitory on University campus for wages. Go ahead.
Yeah, and then they use various transportation to get to their job sites in Lincoln. And then Project Independence.
Project Independence is in need of a new home.
Well, you got lamps now. You can have it at your place.
What's that?
I was being facetious.
Go ahead.
Never mind.
Well, I guess there's been a number of people who feel we need to go back to a more camp-like environment.
Explain where it was this year.
Explain what it was this year?
Where it was.
The kids stayed at the Ortner Center at Union College.
And that's a dormitory?
It's set up like a dormitory.
Okay.
Although it's really, most people that stay there, I don't think are students. It's more like a guest accommodation tent.
Oh, okay.
Last year they stayed at Selleck Hall, which was at some dormitory on the UNL campus. And we decided not to do UNL because I think there were some security issues, which we were able to eliminate by going to Union College, because it was more secure. You know, the entire wing was a lock unit.
Mm-hmm.
You had to use the key to get on the wing. And each unit had your own bathroom, so there's no shared facilities, you know.
Yeah.
However, I'm looking around. I've already called Mahoney State Park, and their cabins can only be rented within the calendar year from date, you know. So if you want to have it next year, you have to do it 1 year to the date at the earliest, you know.
And
so in any case, they're already full. So for next year, so we're looking around.
Oh.
For where it'll be next year.
Do you have to be? I imagine you would be younger for the Project Independent and a little older for the wages.
Right.
Yes.
Project Independence is generally 6 through 14.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, that's 14. And then PI wages is generally going to be in the 14 to 18 or 19 year old range.
Yeah.
And where is Winterfest?
Aurora.
Is it always in Aurora?
Well, it has been. Winterfest has been in Aurora going back quite a number of years, at least 10 years.
Okay.
It wasn't always held there. I mean, all of the programs at one point or another have been in other places.
Well, yeah.
Wages, I think, has always been held here in Lincoln. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
And I think, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
PI, I think it kind of jumped around. And one time we had been going back to Kelvin Crest for a number of years, and we left there because it wasn't handicapped accessible, you know, we realized, and the state requires that we use facilities that are wheelchair accessible, at least.
Right.
Handicap accessible.
Yeah.
So... we're looking for something that's age-appropriate, handicapped accessible, maybe has some other facilities like the kitchen, that kind of thing.
not that easy to find.
No. Good luck.
And how long generally are these, those things held? Project, I mean, how long do they have? How many days?
Project Independence is generally held in the summer, and it starts on a Sunday and it finishes up at noon on a Thursday.
No.
Okay. Winterfest generally starts at dinner time on Thursday and finishes up at lunch on Saturday.
Oh.
Okay. Wages is a 6-week program, not counting 1 week of orientation for the staff who work the program. So, but the participants are assigned to work experiences that are 6 weeks long during the summer in Lincoln. Mm. TABS, I guess, the group teaching program in Omaha is a continuous program that meets once a month. Is that right? Does anybody know for sure?
That's what I've read.
That is true, Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I think it's on a Saturday they meet.
And then the Fremont group, I think, is also monthly, is that right?
Through the school year.
Through the school year.
Okay, thank you. More questions, comments?
Yeah. Got another public comment, too.
Anything else from the board?
Nope.
Okay, I'm going to close public comments, and I'm going to suggest we move straight to lunch, and then we'll move through these other items after lunch.
That sounds reasonable.
Okay.
All right, I move
so
to
we'll
adjourn.
Reconvene, hopefully, at 1 o'clock. That's
if not sooner.
But if not, you'll...